Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, time to shift gears. Time to talk about trust. Time to talk about looking out for things or looking out for those that you care about. And there was an article that recently went across my desk. Actually, it went across the internet on my desk and on the computer, and it was about... The article was, Theft from Nursing Home Trust Funds Target the Elderly. And I said, that is interesting and that is scary. And so it got me thinking about how we look out for those that are in nursing homes, people that are, or people that just, you know, can't take care of their own finances. And I reached out to a local attorney that I've known for a number of years who has a, I would say, a degree of specialization and knowledge in this area. His name is Scott Sellis. Scott, welcome to the program.
How are you, David? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So Scott's here in the studio. No telephone lines to get in our way here. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. I invited Scott to come on the program because Scott is a very knowledgeable attorney. He is his practice is here in Ormond Beach and in Palm Coast.
Correct.
And the firm is Schimento, Sellis, and Dwyer, celebrating...
Our 40th year anniversary this year in May.
Woo!
And
All right. Really
great. You know, the firm started 40 years ago in Palm Coast as a mostly real estate and wills, and now we've got 8 attorneys. We like to say we can handle everything from help I need a will to help I just got rear-ended. It doesn't matter
okay.
which it is.
All right. Well, listen, we all need to know that we can get that kind of support and assistance. And so let me give a little bit of information for our listeners. The website, palmcoastlaw.com?
Palmcoastlaw.com or yourlegalteamforlife.com. Either
Even
one
better.
Of them will work.
Even better. I like that.
Yep,
all
that
right.
palmcoastlaw.com domain was there before I joined the firm in January 2011. And when I joined the firm, we opened an office here in Volusia County.
You said that was part of the deal, huh?
That was part of the deal. this is my home.
So, yeah.
And just recently, we opened a permanent office here in Ormond Beach, right out there on West Granada, across the street from Starbucks.
1414 West Granada.
That's it.
Yeah, I got your
very
number.
Very convenient.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, welcome again, Scott. So here's what I wanted to talk to Scott about, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to get his thoughts and really a little bit of counsel or guidance for us. Again, the article that I recognized, and it got me thinking, Scott, about how people can protect themselves. Because there are, you know, for as long as there has been forms of currency or legal tender or barter or something, there's always been scams and fraud and deceit and...
Right.
You know, it's always been there.
Shell games.
Yeah, always. From snake oil to, you know, whatever. So one of the things that I've seen, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, was where you have a person who's gone into a, maybe they've moved into an assisted care facility, maybe they've moved into a nursing home, whatever the case may be. Or maybe they're just in their own home and they have people coming in.
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot.
It happens a lot. That's what I hope, is that I can have people coming into my home. I don't want to have to go into a facility if I don't have to. So... In all those situations, you have a person who is, let's just say, not 100%.
Right.
Fair enough?
Yep.
And so how can, let's do this from an advanced planning perspective, because I know that's something that you think a lot about, planning ahead. How can people position themselves to insulate themselves as much as they can from being taken advantage of? That's really the heart of what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Right. Well, just to give your listeners a little bit of an understanding of what it is that we do in my unit. Like I said, right, attorneys, and I'm just one of them. By the way, I didn't get good sleep last night. I was tossing and turning all night long, and you know why that is, right?
No, I don't. You're going to tell me, though.
Because lawyers lie on one side, then they lie on the other, and the other. So, anyway,
Oh, boy.
I got all kinds.
Listen,
don't get me started.
I'm just so glad that I'm not the only one that writes my own material. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the listeners get to hear my my attempts at humor, but they keep coming back for more, so that's good.
That's a good thing. Well, my role in the firm is to help the elderly secure their assets so that they don't lose everything to nursing homes. And we've added life care planning, which includes a nurse who's been in the business for 39 years, taking care of elderly people. She ran a statewide organization for home health. And we come up with a written life care plan to help them make sure that they get the best care that they could get in the best location that they could be.
Yeah, appropriate.
Most people want to stay at home. If it's safe for them to stay at home, or if through her recommendations we can help make it safe at home, then that's what we do. In addition, they get all of their estate planning, they get all of their government benefits planning, application services, all in one package. It's a holistic approach.
Very nice.
So one of the things that we focus on during life care planning is how do we make sure that as you age and either begin losing mental capacity, or even if you have your mental capacity, just start getting tired and you're medicated and you've got the aches and the pains and the crinks and the cracks and all these types of things. How do we help you make sure that you don't get taken advantage of? And one way to do it is to make sure that if you have a very trustworthy family member, to involve them.
Very good.
But
very
if you do, and the way that you involve them is you create, don't just put their name on a bank account.
Thank you, Scott.
That's the huge mistake.
Not only is it a mistake, but I mean, it can have so many unintended consequences, right?
Yeah, right, because then the child's creditors become the parent's creditors. So if you have a married child and you put them on your $500,000 investment account, guess what? And they get divorced. Now your investment account is subject to a claim in that divorce. I'm not suggesting that it would be a successful claim, but it might be depending on the circumstances, and that would be bad. So so the advantage of using a trust, and we don't have the time today, I don't think, to go into everything of what a trust is, but the advantage to using a trust is that you can put your child in charge of the account without actually making them an owner of the account in the sense that most people think of ownership.
Right.
Okay. It, meaning that they'll be able to control the money, but they can't use it for themselves legally. If they do use it for themselves illegally, then there are very serious consequences, both criminal as well as things that you could take up in the courts.
Well, and they can't use it to satisfy their own claims, or, you know, somebody suing them and saying, hey, you know, they're getting divorced, you said, or maybe they ran over a neurosurgeon and they owe a huge liability.
Correct. Yeah,
they
that's
can't
not
use
available.
It's not there. It's not their money for that.
Correct. That's not available. And so what happens in some of the nursing homes and assisted living facilities, and this is particularly true for folks who don't have family around and local, what'll happen is the nursing home will take an assignment, or the assisted living facility or the home care agency will take an assignment of all versions of income, pension,
Social Security,
dividends, whatever the case may be. And then they're supposed to put them into a form of a trust account, which they then pay themselves out of, and then the other money that's in there is to be used for the individual.
For their needs, discretionary spending, things they request.
Exactly. And, you know, the truth is that probably 99.9% of the time that works out okay. But we never know when that 0.1% is going to come true. And that's what that article was about. You know, if somebody's paying privately for a nursing home, and right now in our area, nursing homes run between $7,500 and $10,000, depending on a variety of factors. And that's per month.
Per month.
Per month. And so if you're paying for that privately and $10,000 a month is going into that nursing home, if there's a dishonest person in the right spot, they could cook the books a little bit in a way that'll allow them to embezzle the money and make the facility think that they're getting paid what they're supposed to get paid. And again, I deal with a lot of nursing homes and a lot of assisted living facilities, home companion and home health agencies. There's nobody in any of these facilities that I know that I would ever suspect of doing anything like that. They're good, honest, hardworking people. But the truth is that we never know what's going on in someone's life, you know, and maybe they do something they would not ordinarily do. And who knows what goes on behind closed doors, so to speak.
Well, that's why we've got you here, to be thinking about and talking about this with you, Scott. Scott Sellis is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Shemento, Sellis, and Dwyer. Two convenient locations, Palm Coast and Ormond Beach. Let's grab a quick break and we'll come right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back. Thanks for hanging in there. Good stuff. Scott Sellis is here with us, Shemento, Sellis, and Dwyer, celebrating 40 years of serving our community. And for those of you around the country, this is East Central Florida, Volusia and Flagler counties is where we are and what we're talking about. But we had talked before the break with Scott about some of the things that can happen. And if a person with bad intentions is in the right place at the right time in a facility, they could maybe get their hands on, you know, a resident's money. And so that's why there was an article USA Today had that talked about it. And, you know, it was the article, Scott, what tipped them off was the folks that caught this, what tipped them off was that there was somebody reviewing the books and they noticed receipts. You know, the receipts were all there, but what they noticed that the receipts were for North Face jackets, UGG boots, hair dryers, makeup, even a baseball bat.
So cooking the books.
Yeah, so these were things outside the normal items that the resident might have used, where you said before that the you know, that they would hold this money in trust for the beneficiary. Well, so, you know, I like your idea, and I'm a big believer. My listeners know, and people that meet with me know, that I'm not an attorney. That is something that I look to folks like you, Scott, to help with. But I do tell people, you know, the trust is something you definitely should think about and consider as part of your plan, because you can put somebody in a position where they can look after things. And it's always, as you very well know, best to do that before you have problems. You
Absolutely.
Start, you know, you start declining in health, it becomes more difficult. And to get that in place. And now if somebody says, okay, Scott, I'm going to come see you, I'm going to have you help me do this life care plan, I need a will, I need a trust, or I need to do some updates. I get it. You're smart about this. I need a trust. They could use a family member. What if they've got multiple? Do you recommend them having more than one trustee? Should they split the duties between family members? I'm sure you've had some real squabbles with co-trustees.
We have, and that's a great question, David, because one of the things that most people are accustomed to is looking at estate planning documents like it's an apple. You know, and if you can go to Walmart and get an apple for 30 cents less than what you could pay at Publix, then why would you ever go to Publix? Well, these aren't apples. Mm-hmm. First, from comparing apples to apples, they're customized. It depends on your family dynamic. It depends on, do you have any outlaws? Those are the in-laws that you don't like or trust. You know, do you have any kids who have creditor problems, who when they inherit their money could end up losing their inheritance to that? Is there a spouse in the mix who puts a lot of pressure on your kid to spend money all the time, so they end up running out, or that they have a drug problem? You know, just the cookie cutter trusts do not address these types of things.
This sounds like in-laws, outlaws, crooks, and strays. That sounds like a country song, Scott.
It almost does. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think your point's right on, and is that there are family dynamics, and you probably have never seen two families be the same.
Very true. So like it's snowflakes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's nothing off the shelf. I'm not a big fan of doing it online with the self-help stuff. I've always recommended that people meet with an attorney and get that individualized, customized advice. So the process, people can, they can protect themselves. They really can.
They can. And you know, if you're a person who has one of those families where the kids squabble a lot, or you just don't feel comfortable putting one of your children in charge of the money without involving the others, there are various ways that you can address your concerns. One of those ways is to put all of your kids in charge, and any one of them can decide. Usually that's a really bad idea when they don't get along well.
That's probably even worse than having done nothing.
Correct. That's pretty bad. Or you might have it where you want two of them to make a decision by a majority, and then you got two kids ganging up on the other. Probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
So there's no silver bullet. And when you're in that situation where you just feel like you're turning around in a box, and everywhere you turn, there's just another wall, professional trustees come in very, very handy. I'm not a professional trustee. However, there are professionals out there who can be identified by the individual who makes the trust.
Correct.
To take care of it. And if they don't know who they want to pick, then you could say a professional trustee selected by the trust protector. By the way, a trust protector is something that not many people are familiar with, but it's an individual who is involved in the trust when necessary, doesn't have any real authority over the trust. But if it's something like we need to pick we have a vacancy for the trustee, the trust protector can come in and fix that, even if the individual it doesn't have mental capacity. For example, if the law changes and your trust has certain deficiencies because of those law changes, a trust protector can actually amend a trust during your incapacity to fix those administrative provisions or those tax-related provisions. And you're just not going to find that in many trusts around here.
Well, and that's a very good backup plan. And so for people who are thinking, well, I'm not sure what do I go to? You know, some of the options that people have to have a professional trustee, of course, you have the bank trust department.
Right.
Okay, that's an option. You have trust companies.
Correct.
You have CPAs. Mm-hmm. Some attorneys.
Some attorneys will act as a fiduciary.
Okay.
Until I would take a course to be a fiduciary and acquire the appropriate software to make sure that things are being done the right way, I am not comfortable as acting as a fiduciary.
Well, I'll tell you, the courses are rigorous, and I'm going to be putting
some... You took one, didn't you?
I did. I am a certified trust financial advisor now, and that was a week-long program.
It must have been brutal.
It was... Yeah, I'm a pretty good test taker, I will admit.
Okay.
But it was pretty intense.
you're being humble.
It was intense. But American Bankers Association offers that designation. So I get that because I have a number of clients who have named me as a successor trustee on their trust because I'm already doing the financial work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is, for me, a natural extension of working with that client to help them, you know, as they move through life.
Mm-hmm.
So these are different options that people have that they can... They need to have a plan. I think that's the most important thing, instead of just leaving it kind of open-ended. And, you know, talking about your own mortality is not fun.
No, it's not fun at all.
But it's something we got to do if we're going to plan ahead.
You know, it's really important when you're seeing any professional, but especially an attorney or a financial planner, that you feel like you can talk with them about darn near anything.
Yeah.
And that not just that you can talk with them about it, but that they'll talk with you about it, and that they'll listen to your concerns, and that you'll be able to feel like they understand your concerns. You know, many times when people go to professionals, and this is, I won't say which profession, but there's one profession out there that's notorious for people getting maybe 5 minutes with the professional, and the professional just doesn't listen because they don't have time to listen. And they just walk out. And so they walk in, they walk out, they do their thing and move on. You know, when you're dealing with a lawyer on estate planning, you shouldn't be dealing with somebody who's going to be with you for 10 minutes and be done. If you want to make sure they understand your family, it's going to take them an hour and a half to really understand what's going on.
No question. Well, that's why you're here, Scott. I want people to understand what this stuff's all about. And you know, filling out a form, filling in a box, and saying, "I can see you for 10 minutes," just isn't going to cut it for a lot of people. Scott Sellis, Shimento Sellis and Dwyer, 40 years serving Volusia and Flagler County, and we'll grab another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back. Scott Sellis is in the studio here. We're talking about trust. We're talking about estate planning, protecting yourself, you know, looking ahead. Let's talk for a minute about something that's very, very related, Scott. And I know you get a lot of questions about this. I know this is an area of expertise for you. And it's something that I very quickly defer to you and to other attorneys. And that is the area of asset protection.
Yes.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, and I am very proud to tell you, report to you, that I know a lot more about the asset protection elements now after I took my certified trust financial advisor.
Sure.
And that is the asset protection. There aren't many ways as you go through life to, you know, really protect your assets unless you take the time to do the proper legal preparation. So this trust planning we talked about really can have a huge impact on protecting your assets for yourself and especially for the next generation.
Right. And if you're talking about from long-term care costs, because there's a whole lot of different reasons to protect
your assets.
Well, not
just long-term care, but I mean from creditors and...
Well, creditors are a little bit more complicated because in Florida, the laws are kind of weak for trust-based, self-settled, you know, creating your own trust to protect your assets from a creditor.
That's difficult.
It's very difficult in Florida. You can do it by creating it in Arizona or in, Alaska or in Nevada. And those are both very good jurisdictions for it, but you have to have trustees out there. Florida attorneys can do it in partnership with attorneys, and I've done that before, but it's not the favored choice. Most people don't realize that one of the best ways that they can protect their money is by just putting it into financial products, life insurance, annuities.
Hmm.
You know, I can't tell you how many clients I've turned away who came into to me who had $250,000 in an IRA or a 401k, and they had $500,000 of CDs. And they come in to see us, and they have a house. They don't have any land, nothing else. That's all they have. Well, first of all, IRAs and 401ks cannot be touched by your creditors, so I don't have anything to help them with there.
And the house?
And the house is protected from creditors. I got nothing to do to help them there. And their $500,000 of CDs, okay, that's a problem, but go put that into an annuity or put that into a life insurance policy, and guess what? Your creditors can't reach it. So, you know, that's pretty valuable advice to somebody. I don't charge for it because to me that's something that's just should be common knowledge amongst the financial.
A lot of people don't know that.
They don't. And hopefully your listeners who are out there now who may see a problem on the horizon are thinking, I got to call David up and I got to get in there and I got to do something with that.
Okay? Well, and I think the real key thing there, you know, we're not telling anybody to defraud a creditor.
Absolutely not.
Okay, but we're talking about just good, prudent planning ahead. And do these financial products make sense for part of your overall plan anyway?
Right.
So, you know, don't mess around with it because $500,000 sitting in a CD or money market account, I mean, that's about as bare as it gets, right?
It really is. It really is. And the thing is that, you know, here's the way it works with defrauding the creditor part of it. You know, and I've had other attorneys and I have debated about this. They say if you already know of the creditor, then the statute that could set aside that annuity will come into play. Because you're doing it for the purpose of defrauding a creditor. I said, I don't think you could just make that determination. I think you've got to look at the circumstances. And if these folks are getting a 0.5% or 1% in a CD, and they can convert that into an annuity, okay, maybe even an immediate annuity that'll improve their income stream, well, then why shouldn't they do it? So it may turn out that the creditor has no way to recover in that scenario. But the reason that they're doing it is to improve their financial situation. The fact that it might make it more difficult for a creditor, that's just a bonus.
Hmm. So. Well, let's speak to this point, Scott. Let's do this. Let's grab another quick break. I want to come back. I wanted to talk to you about the creditor protection with the trust as it relates to kids if you're holding the money in trust.
That's
I'm after. Yeah. Be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back. Scott Sellis is giving us some real-world application. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Scott, thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Scott's been with Shemento, Sellis, and Dwyer for a number of years now, 40 years of Shemento, Sellis, and Dwyer serving the community. Of course, Scott wasn't for all those 40 years.
No, no, I would have been 11 years old if that were the case.
I'm sorry. I had to get Scott. So two offices, Palm Coast and Ormond Beach, and very convenient to work with. Okay, so one of the things I want to go back to from before the break, Scott, was we were talking about the way different financial products can provide some asset protection, and you very clearly articulated about, you know, trying to do a trust to protect your own assets. It's just very difficult. But one of the things that I've understood in working with attorneys like you, I'm not an attorney, but I defer to you on this, and that is the advantages of, we talked earlier about the advantages that a trust can have for somebody where they can have these things set up, a trustee can step in, can take care of them, do all those things, handle their finances. But another byproduct can be the asset protection that that trust can provide for the children.
That's the most powerful thing about trust planning for me, for people who want to leave a legacy with their children. Like I said in the last segment, you can create a self-settled asset protection trust, but it could get pierced. It could get taken down. But the place that you can really protect assets for your kids where they can't do it for themselves is by creating a continuing trust. I call it a dynasty trust.
Good.
A dynasty trust for your children so that when they inherit from you, if they get divorced, the divorcing spouse can't touch it. If they file for bankruptcy, the trustee can't touch it.
They run over that neurosurgeon.
If they have a business that fails on which they have a lot of personal guarantees, and so now they're looking at losing their inheritance, you could even make it set up so that if there's any money left over for your child, if there's any money left over in that trust when your child dies, you can make sure it goes to the children instead of the spouse, who can get remarried and lose it to their next spouse.
So the key thing here is that although that the child who is the beneficiary of this trust can get the income, or cash flow out of the trust, they don't really own the asset that's in the trust,
right,
which is what keeps it from being subject to their creditors.
Right. We have to set it up in a way that they do not have complete control over it. They can have some control. They can get income. They can certainly get principal for their health, education, maintenance, and support, as long as it's a discretionary portion coming out of the trust. Mm-hmm. And there's ways to do it so that the kids have protection. And when so many people misunderstand, they say that's already in mine because it's their will or their trust says if my kid dies before me, then it goes to their children.
That's not the same thing.
That's totally different. What about that deals with your child dying before you? What I'm talking about is what happens if your child dies after you.
Right.
They die a month after you've they've received $250,000 from you, and their will says give what I have to my wife, who you don't like very much. Okay. Guess what? That's going to them.
Unless you have your grandchildren.
Right. Yeah. Unless you have a trust that says if you die before that money's gone, give it to my descendants. Nobody else.
Excellent. Scott Sellis has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, though, I'm going to have to send him to your office to speak to you more about this.
Please, we'd love to see them.
Yep, Palm Coast and Ormond Beach, Shemento, Sellis, and Dwyer. Scott, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. If they'd like more information, 386-868-5337. That's 386-868-KEEP. Just give us a call.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.